Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, in this hour, we will have our Chris Brown ticket giveaway. If you've been trying to call in all week to win, it will happen in this hour. But right now,
people are beating each other up to get those tickets.
All right. Settle down.
Chris Brown.
No, I get it.
What a singer, by
man,
the way.
It
what
is
a
like singer. Having flashbacks to just months ago with Mike Bassett in that same exact chair. So we do this thing called the Combo Platter.
Yes.
Today's Combo Platter, concert edition.
Mm.
Give us a sports opinion, any sports opinion. And then what is your favorite concert venue of all time?
It's tough.
Now, I wouldn't have thought going into this that I would need to say your favorite concert venue of all time because you went there and saw a concert there.
Yeah.
And yet, Fred, here we are.
Here we are. Well, I mean, look, I'm not a big concert guy. I can count on one hand how many concerts I've been to in my life.
So you'd think that would make it easier for you because have only five venues.
No one's
going to
know any of the places I mentioned, though.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, so if I say the Granada in Lawrence, Kansas, people are like, cool, right? Like, nobody knows, okay? So I would say the Granada because I did see Ghostface, Tech N9ne, and I can't remember who the other rapper was that I saw there. But if I had to say what place looks the coolest or seems like a great place, I would say Red Rocks in Colorado.
And just to clarify, even though I already know the answer, how many times have you been to Red Rocks?
I made it clear. I haven't been there. I haven't been there.
Do you have plans on going there someday?
One day. I mean, look, U2 Under a Blood Red Sky. If you haven't checked it out, it was before they, you know, made us listen to U2 on our iPhones.
Yeah.
Which that was terrible. But if you want like a good no skip, as the kids call it, album to just jam out to, Sunday Bloody Sunday, what?
How often do you use the vernacular of the kids?
Probably too much.
I can see
that.
Probably too much.
I can definitely see.
That's right.
But I mean, look, I work with Blake and, you know, the youngest people on the staff. I mean, I'm getting harassed every day.
I felt like I've done a good job today.
Oh, you have, yes.
Yeah, I'm younger than Blake.
Okay, but you're not younger than you know, Khaki Kevin, New Guy Jake, or Dylon. And I'm accosted literally every show that I'm an old head, I'm an unk, these sort of things.
Does it make you rethink your life choices at
all? No, because I don't care. I got a 22-year-old and a 17-year-old. Look, I'll put it like this. A, don't have a lot of grays. Number one, let's get that out of the
still
way.
Still have hair.
Okay, still got hair. All right, we're holding on to it. As my boy Henry Thomas would say, fire them before they quit. And then on top of that, we were at Pluckers last Thursday.
Yes.
Okay. I was the one in Fort Worth, Alliance. Had one of the Tolos come up to me and said, Fred, I expected you to be a lot older.
Oh.
And I said, really, why? And he goes, because you're constantly being ridiculed for how old you are on the show. And this guy who agreed that he looked older than I did was 38.
How old are you?
I'm 44.
Damn.
I'm 44. So, you know? What? So, yeah, when I say as a kid, and look, there's things I need to, but you know, you look, it's nighttime. It's all bets are off. Mics go hot. 4 hours of, ain't no telling where we're going to take it.
No, I've heard the show. what is your sports opinion?
Just today? Tell you what, you guys go back around. tell you what my sports opinion. You know what?
You know what?
You ready? I'm excited about the Cowboys running back room.
Yeah, I heard you have a controversial Javonte Williams take.
Oh, it's Javonte Williams season, people. Okay?
Season for
Let's
what?
Let's go. 800 yards. Book it. Book it.
Okay.
Javonte's going off in 2025.
Is that going off if you get 800 yards?
You got four guys. I mean, look, if the whole team. Tell you what.
Tell me.
James Conner, leading rusher for the Arizona Cardinals, where boy Clayton Adams has been doing his thing. Last four seasons, leading rusher. 1090, 1045, 790, 750. Last four seasons. So if you tell me Javonte Williams goes for 800 yards, Jaden Blue gives you 700 yards, and a third guy does whatever, you'll take that all day, every day.
That feels like a very high prediction for Mr. Blue.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
Okay.
In a joint role? I'll tell you what, I'm just spitballing here. Just spitballing. Javonte, Jaden Blue, poor man's version, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs. Where's my bell?
Yeah, by where's my poor bell? Man, do you mean ding. Like pull ding. Out your pockets because there's nothing left in there and you got to get in
scrapping.
Line? Yeah.
No, not that. Oh. Poor man's version in just a sense that, hey, first year between the two of them, it's my goal.
So that's improvement.
That's it. You heard it here, Jerry. So that's it. Man. You want my sports opinion? There you go.
Hey, I'm appreciative raw and that unfiltered. You had one. Yes, yeah. For sure. Oh,
I got plenty of them.
Yet, when called for, you had none. From the 254.
I'm learning. Okay. Usually in your spot.
Okay.
I asked the question.
From the 254, not going to happen here. From the 254, this will be the year that Jonathan Mingo puts it all together. God, I hope
tell 254, I'm jumping on that bandwagon as well.
Okay.
Mingo mania.
Okay.
Mingo mania. Here we go.
Man, so you think the Cowboys are going to be unbelievable.
I am.
Jonathan Mingo's about to step up our running back room.
I am on the Brian Schottenheimer hype train, and I'm the conductor.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Jayhawk. Let's get that out of the way. Now, I think he did transfer, but either way. Kansas guy?
Mm-hmm.
Marty, I'll tell you a crazy Marty Schottenheimer story.
Please do.
Can't tell it. No, this is an off-air story.
Oh, okay.
All I'm going to say is this. Harvey Williams told me this story, and it was one of the wildest stories I've ever heard in my life, if true.
Okay.
If true.
From the, by the way, the rest of that person's answer from the 254, the O2 Arena in London is the best concert venue.
Okay.
From the 817, my favorite combo platter is Fred and Kevin today.
Ayo, let's go.
Alec, give us a sports opinion, and then you are a concert guy. Where is the best, what is the best concert venue?
Sports opinion, gentlemen, I did see, this is fresh on the mind because I did see Tyler Booker has officially signed his rookie contract. Ooh, he's the first of the draft class to do so.
Love
so
it.
That's out of the way. Not that there was going to be any question, but I feel like the more I watch him, and especially the more I listen to him, the more I'm believing that this offensive line is going to have a bigger turnaround than I'm prepared for. Like, I think it got better when you drafted him. I certainly thought that. It absolutely got better, but I think he's going to bring an element of leadership that's going to kind of wake up some of those other guys, you know, like the Cooper Beebe's of the world. Not that he needs to be woken up, essentially. But, you know, I think there will be sort of a, hey, we're a lot better than you guys think we are. We can be a lot nastier in the run game than you think we can be on paper. And we're going to go prove it. This guy's a road grader and he's an incredible leader. So I think this offensive line as a whole is going to benefit from his presence and his play. I'm very excited to see what kind of a role he takes on in the locker room. But I think on paper, I was really scared going into this draft about one, keeping Dak Prescott on his feet, but two, with Fred's guy, Javonte Williams, who's he going to run behind? You know, I really didn't think there was, outside of Tyler Smith, I didn't really have much hope for the run game in terms of directional running and running zone schemes. But if you want to take that approach, I think you can now, because I think your offensive line got that much better.
And your favorite all-time concert venue?
So I would have had a different answer if this concert actually happened. In January, I was supposed to go to the Rose Bowl. and go see The Weeknd there, but the wildfires canceled that because it's an open-air venue, and they couldn't justify that with all the smoke in the air. So that easily would have been my number one. I've been dying to go to the Rose Bowl for any event, game, concert, whatever. I need to make that happen at some point, but this is going to be a hot take. Because I know a lot of people complain about the acoustics.
Are you about to say AT&T?
I love AT&T Stadium for concerts. I think I'm just partial to stadium shows in general because the energy is just different when you have 60 to 80,000 people roaring versus the, you know, 10 to 15,000 at an arena and the 5,000 at a little venue like Southside Ballroom, which is my number two. Southside Ballroom has a lot of nostalgia for me. I've seen a lot of acts that have kind of blown up since I saw them, which is pretty cool. It's like I saw them in this smaller venue. Now they're playing the AAC when they come to town. So there's a lot of sentimental value there for seeing some people kind of grow up in the music industry. But I really do enjoy AT&T Stadium, the three concerts I've seen there now. The acoustics have been
fine. What concerts were they?
Let's see. I saw The Weeknd there in 2022. I saw Kendrick Lamar and SZA this past weekend. And then
how was that?
Amazing. That was my number one of all time.
How did Kendrick Lamar sound? The reason why I asked that, I went to a Jay-Z concert at the Toyota Center in Houston, which is basically their AAC. Awful.
Huh.
Couldn't have been. The acoustics were terrible. I've seen probably half dozen rap shows. Most of them have been in smaller venues.
Yeah.
I don't like big rap shows because I feel like because you're talking, you're rapping, and it's less about music and it's about you rapping. I feel like you need a more intimate venue to hear what the hell they're saying to really get into it. I'm curious how Kendrick sounded.
He was amazing because if you follow his music even a little bit, you see that he's a real storyteller.
Yeah.
So
it
was cinematic. Like there was cutscenes in between songs.
Cool.
Like there was literally him and SZA like at a gas station arguing with each other in a car over some snacks and stuff, and then him being interrogated. And right when they were setting up Euphoria, you know, they're like, "Do you remember this phrase? Drop, drop, drop." And then it just kept on speeding up into Euphoria.
Okay.
Like he's a storyteller, so I think it was amazing. And in that big venue with everybody going crazy, he actually broke his own record for a hip hop show in terms of revenue. It was like $12 million in ticket sales.
Yikes.
Amazing at AT&T Stadium. So yeah, every show I've seen there has been amazing. I like it.
Good to know.
From the 940 Sports Opinion. Detaching from the Dallas Cowboys has improved my fandom for the Stars and the Rangers. Interesting.
Huh.
And their best venue they've ever been to is Jacobs Pavilion in Cleveland. It's on the river, and the skyline is clear behind the stage.
Okay.
I like that. From the 469, the Mavericks and Lakers both got worse in the Luka trade. And Red Rocks for environment, but the Box Center in Tulsa for sound.
Okay.
We get a little breakdown.
So
right
my
there.
Red Rocks got some love. Thank you very much.
I don't think.
Just saying.
I don't think the argument was against Red Rocks. It was that Alec said he would have told you, but he didn't get to go to this place. So he had another one. And your response was, "This place I've never been to."
Mm. Right. I'm just saying, but even though I'd never been there, somebody else agreed with me.
Well, I don't think it's a hot opinion to be like, "Hey, Red Rocks looks popular."
I'm just saying, you asked.
Every
I'm
Dave Matthews Band concert that's ever taken place feels like it's been at Red Rocks.
But U2 is what really... Check out U2 Under a Blood Red Sky.
What if I don't really like U2?
That's why you need to listen to that one. And if you still don't like them afterwards,
all right,
fair enough.
I don't like dislike them, but I'm just like, eh.
I get it. I'm with you on that.
From the 214, my sports opinion, neither the Mavs nor the Lakers will win the championship next year. And the House of Blues in Dallas. By the way, one specific concert venue people are saying is Starplex. And they're like, it's always going to be Starplex to me, not Jexa or Smirnoff or Dos Equis. Yeah. So people have had enough with the naming rights battle. And they're like, hey, let's just go ahead and call it Starplex.
Seriously.
Now, do you count this as a sports opinion if somebody suggests that an athlete does OnlyFans? Does that count?
No, absolutely, I do.
Okay.
It's a sports opinion.
From the 903, former G-Bag Nation guest Paige Spiranek should give up golf for OnlyFans and their favorite concert venue, Toyota Music Factory in Irving.
Okay.
From the 817. Oh, wow. From the 817.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And the Rangers will win the division in Carnegie Hall because I got to perform there.
I mean, what a flex.
Yeah.
What a flex. What did, is this person going to follow up and let us know what they performed?
I hope they do.
I wonder if they were like in a symphony or something.
Did you just discount the person who made it to Carnegie Hall as part of an orchestra or a symphony, and you're like, meh, what else have you done?
There was 100 other people in the group, yeah. So, you know, he was an alternate. No, I'm kidding, but no, what'd you do?
Okay.
Now, you told me you went up and, you know, did like 30 minutes of stand-up or you know, did a live song yourself, then hey, not taking anything away, but
if you're part of even a quartet, will you allow that?
I will.
Okay.
I will. Barbershop.
Of course. All right. Coming up at 1:20. What have you done that may or may not impress Fred?
You'd be surprised.
From the 972, my sports opinion is that Kevin is going to knock Fred out in the third hour of the show. Not going to happen. And my favorite venue is Cowboys Stadium when Metallica rock that. So I'm assuming then we're going back to Texas Stadium as opposed to the AT&T Stadium. Because, Alec, I was fascinated by your answer because a lot of people have complained about the acoustics at AT&T. So I appreciate your I appreciate you throwing that out there. All right, for me, sports opinion. The Stars are going to win game effing seven, baby.
I love it.
And then my favorite concert venue of all time was the Bronco Bowl. So are you familiar with the Bronco Bowl?
No idea. That was my next question.
So the Bronco Bowl very much does live up to its name. It's a concert venue, but you have to walk through a bowling alley to get there.
Sounds wonderful.
Exactly.
Sounds wonderful.
Exactly. And it was awesome. And you had so many great bands that went through there and it would hold, I don't know, like maybe 3,000 people. Oh. So you still got the intimate feel, but people would pack it up.
Yes.
Like I saw Garbage there. I saw Drowning Pool there. Like I saw so many.
So you're only happy when it rains.
Yes.
Okay.
I am only happy when it's complicated. We're the KNC masterpiece. Whatever you're going to throw out there, I'm ready. I am ready.
I just appreciate being able to throw, you know, things my age, because when I say that to Blake, I just get
Sure, because he wasn't even born when that album came out. That makes sense to me.
Damn. He brought something up yesterday. Tyler Shuck will be the last player drafted from the 1900s in the NFL.
Oh, my goodness.
More than likely.
Oof. Well, that's a lot to deal with right there.
let that marinate.
Oh, coming up next, more of my live midlife crisis. But also, we got the Chris Brown ticket giveaway and puck around and find out game 7. Do the Stars advance? And let's talk some more about yesterday's game. All of it next right here on The Fan.
Sound the horn. We'll see you on Saturday for game 7. It's do or die in Dallas. Colorado wins game 6 by a final score of 7-4.
By the way, that game set for, I believe, 7 o'clock tomorrow, game 7 between the Avs and the Stars. And remember, whenever Alec decides, we'll do our Chris Brown ticket giveaway.
Let's give something away!
Oh, 877-881-1053. Caller number 10 will win a pair of tickets to go see Chris Brown September 3rd at Globe Life Field. You can buy tickets, of course, or you can win them for free right now. Caller number 10, 877-881-1053. All right, so we're going to go back to the Stars, and I really want to get some people's feedback on that. How we feeling going into game 7? I still want to look back at game 6, of course, but what's the vibe? How we feeling going to game 7? I know when we had Brian Ray on, he said Stars in 7. I said Stars in 7. But I can't help but look back at last night and be like, it felt like it was there to close out, and you didn't. And how costly will that be?
I know what you mean, because it does feel that way. Kind of, I mean, like I said, it kind of reminded you of the Knicks Pistons last night, right? Now, that being said, you're at your home.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be, and we don't need to tell Stars fans anything to don't already know.
Them last time
you beat the brakes off them boys last time. So now that said, you know is there anything better than a game 7? I don't care what sport it is.
For a lot of people, I think I'm in this group too. Specifically hockey. You're right. Game 7 is great, but hockey game 7 is nuts.
Again, I've learned more. The last time I watched hockey to this extent was 2000, and I watched the Kings.
Okay.
I was in the barracks in Brunswick, Maine. And if you've ever been there, there's nothing to do there. Okay. Except drink a lot.
I did.
So for whatever reason, I got into the playoffs that year. Okay. So I'm a pseudo, I don't mind the Kings. Now that has as much to do with the fact that, King starter jackets were all the rage back in the late 80s, early 90s. That said, I am fascinated with just the physicality, the speed, and just the way with the way playoff hockey is. Like, it's one of them things where the sports guy, you always hear, oh, there's nothing better than playoff hockey. Well, I tell you what, like I said, I'm a basketball guy through and through. I'm a football guy through and through, but I will be tuned in at 7 p.m. 1900 for those of you operating on the 24-hour clock tomorrow night.
Oh, I like that. Do you operate the rest of your life in military time? You best show me your phone.
Well, it's 1227, but when it hits 1300, then you'll know.
All right.
So, yes,
I guess this was an inopportune specific time for me to ask you that question.
It's still 1228, but yes, I still adhere to the 24-hour clock.
Now, early on, not a lot of positivity coming through. From the 972, the Stars have zero chance tomorrow. They will lose by at least 3. From the 214, the Stars will be motivated and will dominate the Avs. I like that. And from the 972, zero. They have zero chance. Alec, before we get to game 7, I wanted to ask you, because the morning news put this out there. I get their point. I think it's a complicated question. Did Ottinger do enough for the Stars to win yesterday?
That's really complicated.
Yeah. Because I know you're going to be like, fluky goal off the skate, and then obviously the fifth goal that your own person knocked in. Like, I understand that. And he saw a barrage of shots yesterday. I don't think the defense did him any favors.
I would say with the way the Stars offense looked, especially in that second period, I think he did enough. I do think he did enough. I think the defense let him down a little bit. Obviously, we touched on it at the open of the show that Bischel getting hurt, obviously not going to look like himself after getting smashed into the boards like that. Yeah. I don't think that did them any favors. I don't think the defense was particularly great in this game either all around. At times they flashed. I was impressed because Colorado is just so quick. Like, they feel so twitchy that there were a couple times where they would poke the puck away. And I'm like, okay, good, because that would have been a straight-on rush on Ottinger, and I would not have liked the result of that. But I do think he did enough. Was it perfect? Absolutely not. But with this Stars offense, even with the injuries that they're battling right now, I think if you're in that mode where your first and second line are putting up some playoff historic numbers, then you should probably win that game.
Okay, I like that. And I've seen some people asking if Bischel's not at 100%, how are you going to replace him? And I know this is not a person-for-person replacement because no human being, it feels like, in history has been as big as Bischel on the ice. But is now the time when Miro is going to come back? Because obviously if he doesn't come back in this game, you might not see him again for, 4 months?
Yeah, at least till next season.
Yeah, exactly. And so I am curious if, like, Miro's, I'm sure Miro's like, I want to play in this game. And I'm curious how that plays out.
But even if he does play, like, what can you reasonably expect out of him? I mean, oh, by the way, we know you haven't played in a while. Oh, by the way, game 7.
Yeah.
And we need you.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're gonna ramp it up to 11. So get your mind right.
I just, your point is well made. Physically, it is well made.
That'd be my only question.
Mentally, I get the sense that maybe hockey players in general, and definitely Miro, he's like, no, I'm going to come back and I'm going to be 100%. I don't know if I'm really going to be 100%, but I'll be 100%.
I'll give you what I got.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not sure if that's going to be enough or not. And I have also seen, we'll probably wrap back around to this, some people hearkening back on the Dallas Stars history in Game 7s against the Avalanche. It is very good. You also have a coach who's never lost in Game 7. I love those kind of stats. When they drop the puck, they are all irrelevant.
I was going to say, it doesn't matter.
But yeah.
You do, but at the same time, to your point, you know that the coach has been there in big situations. The team understands the situation it's going into. And I don't... Ultimately, I don't know that this, like, you knew going into this was going to be a dogfight. Like, everybody knew going into the NHL playoffs that Colorado-Dallas was the premier. It was the Clippers-Denver of the NHL. So I don't know. Like, if you're a Stars, yes. Does it suck that you let one get away yesterday, but you're not necessarily undeterred by it, right? And so you know going into it, hey, we knew this was going to be a dogfight. We knew Colorado wasn't going to give up, and here we go. Let's do what we got to do tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that from the 214. If Bischel is good to go, you don't throw Miro in Game 7. And, like, we talked about this earlier. You can see Bischel out on the ice, but I just don't know how close to 100% Bischel will be. So I'm not saying that. And I don't want to put Miro out there if you're like, oh, he might get hurt again. You know, but if they were like, hey, let's see if we can win game 6 and hold him out until game 1. Otherwise, he might be able to play. Yeah. If he's like, I'm ready to play, I will take that as well as Bischel out there. I don't know what percentage he'll be at, though.
What was, reminds me of Landeskog played, 11 minutes when he came back his first game?
And the emotional lift of that.
And they still lost.
Yeah.
Right? And they still lost.
But so sad.
But my point in that is, look, Miro hasn't been out for 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay? It hasn't been, however long the previous administration since the last time he played. Yeah. So, maybe you get 12, 15 minutes out of it. And I'm not opposed to if Bischel is out there, you play them both. So either way, I mean, he's going to give you the best he can. And again, if you get 12 to 15 minutes of good ice time out of him, you'll take that.
From the 972, does that mean 1320 is when Fred will answer all of the questions? You know what? I think we might have to. have to do that. From the 214, key factor is going to be Jamie Benn. Although Landeskog is getting the spotlight, we have the better captain in the locker room, maybe not in public. And it's tough because I don't want to say, we got Jamie Benn. He's going to get everybody fired up. Like, Colorado has two of the best 5 players in the world. I'm sure they're internally motivated. And they're like, I don't need a hype-up speech. You know what? That would be my speech. I would walk up there and I would say, if you need a hype-up speech for this game, get the hell out of my locker room right now.
What did Jokic say about Michael Porter Jr.? When they asked him, what does he need to do to get engaged defensively? He says, if I need to tell you to get engaged in the playoffs, then don't play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as simple as that. My thing would be, if you're the Stars, shout out to my boy Billy Brown, my East Texas hockey correspondent, beat the hell out of him. Just beat the hell out of him
and
to start things off.
That's where you're going to need 100%.
Punch him in the mouth.
You're going to need 100% Bischel if you're going to do that. Because, look, we talked about yesterday or the day before. I don't think team hits are always as representative as people think they are about who is the most physical in that game. But there's no question your most physical player is Bischel. He's the most gigantic human ever as well. So you'd hope he'd be as close to 100% as possible if you're going to hang physically on Saturday night.
I think two things are going to happen tomorrow. I think defensively they're going to come out and waylay Colorado early, and I'm calling my shot right now. 3 points at Amico.
Man.
Including the game-winning goal.
That, okay.
Book it!
I love the specificity of that. If you look at Miko Rantanen and Roope Hintz in the second period yesterday, both of them had 4 points, which tied both of them in that one period alone had 4 points, which was tied for the most points in any playoff game period in the history of hockey. You had two people tie it. It gave you the lead and then you lost. And I see people saying bad bounces. I know that came up in the morning news as well, but bad bounces have got you to game seven, and you're not going to leave game seven if you lose and being like, yeah, but we didn't really lose because we got a bad bounce. Like, you're going to see something's going to happen tomorrow, especially on our ice. Something is going to happen tomorrow that you're going to be like, the hell was that? And that could be the tipping point in the game.
Let's just hope it's pro Dallas.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Alec, are we going to win tomorrow? And will we be talking about maybe Winnipeg on Monday?
Oh, Winnipeg is back. I think we are going to win. It might be hopeless optimism, but I do like what I've seen here in the past few games from the Stars. I do think that things are starting to get a little bit more comfortable with Rantanen. And if he's getting comfortable with the team around him is facilitating. And what I really liked about his goal, and Kenny Albert even pointed it out on the broadcast, he said you could hear the communication from the press box, from their broadcast booth on his goal. He was yelling out players' names, like saying, like, give me the puck. I'm ready to shoot. I have a lane. Like, you could hear that. You're starting to see it on the TV copy too, that, like, it seems a little bit more fluid. It seems like everybody's settling in, and now, you know, one of your most physical players getting dinged up doesn't help that account by any means. But coming back to Dallas, thank God we finally don't have a midnight start for one of these games. I can't wait to
actual prime time.
Yes, I'm actually going to take in every single second of this game, and I can't wait for it. But I think that coming home, I think that everybody's kind of finding their groove again. Again, I don't want to blame the loss on fluky points and fluky goals. I don't want to blame it on that. But I do think, like I said, I really liked how the offense played yesterday for two periods.
Yeah.
If they can string that out for a full hockey game, I think they're going to win this game by a goal or two. I think they will.
Now, Ottinger had an amazing quote after the game last night. He goes, you're just like, are you serious? I can't believe that. I think if we play well on Saturday, we'll be happy with the result. And so many people were like, Ottinger's got to be mad. He's got to be furious because there's a couple of fluky goals. But I predicted Dallas in seven at the beginning. I'm not going to go off of that now that we
can't.
Now that we're in game seven, I'm not going to be like,
what a heel turn. You know what? Adds in seven. Yeah. I lied.
No, I'm definitely not going to do that. And I still think that this team has what it takes to lift the cup. And these are the two betting favorites in the Western Conference. The way they came together, it's unfortunate. I think whoever wins will be the favorite over Winnipeg. They would certainly be the favorite over St. Louis in the next round. And I'm going to stick with the Stars. I say that they win this game 4-3 in overtime.
I love it. I'm here for it.
Fingers crossed. We need to make it happen.
DFW needs it to happen.
Good Lord. You know what? That's a great point. Cowboys, well.
Or just TBD.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pink cloud that we're on right now with them.
Cowboys fell back to missing the playoffs, and before that, playoff heartbreak. The Rangers, we got our World Series and then had a terrible year. And then one of the most confusing trades in the history of the NBA. If the Stars lose in the first round, I mean, look,
think about it. If the Stars, God forbid, the Stars lose tomorrow night, we are banking, we are putting our hopes and prayers on Donnie Ecker and this offensive unit to turn it around.
You're really going to go after that hitting coach.
I just want to hear from him.
Yeah.
just like, I'm not saying you're the reason.
Yeah.
But
what do you want to hear from him?
I don't know anything. Okay. To sing the ABCs for all I care. Just let you know. I mean, what's your philosophy?
Okay.
Tell me anything, Donnie. What's your favorite concert venue that you may or may not even been to?
Okay. Yeah.
Let's get down to brass tacks, Don.
I do want to hear that.
Let's get down to brass tacks.
From the 214, can we all agree that Makar is a little B? Yes. Yes, we can.
I'm here for it.
What, with his stupid embellishments that they didn't call and everything like that? Yeah, that's great. From the 561, this will be the fourth game seven between the Stars and the Avalanche. Does that include a Minnesota series as well? The seventh head-to-head matchup in NHL history with that many. Dallas has won each of the three game sevens prior. Look, I love those stats.
Yeah, I'd stop it.
And
just leave it alone.
I love those stats, and I love their head coach hasn't lost a game seven, but then the puck drops and you're like,
yeah.
Does that really matter now?
No.
From the 214, this guy, is he RJ's cousin?
I mean, what are we doing here?
Look, we're going to answer more of those questions that you have.
What I've been called is what? His cousin, his brother, anything else?
If you really want.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I want to know, you were called a better version of RJ by one person. Were called a Timu version of RJ Choppy at that. Another one. So, people have...
You know as well as anybody, the texters, you could be one texter's best friend and the other one wants you dead. So, you just don't know.
All right. We're going to see about question time, story time with Fred. But right now, it's time for Masterpiece Theater. So... what I want to know today...
is that Dylon, Dylon, Dylon?
As a background music?
No, the dude that just did that intro.
That was our very first producer, Waddle.
Really?
Yeah.
That's... have you heard Dylon, Dylon, Dylon? Well, wait till you hear Dylon, 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 our newest producer here.
Okay.
So you guys obviously have the ultra-talented Alec Medford. We get the rotation of producers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I've you know how that works, right? Yeah. Now, look, that being said... I love them all like foster children. Dylon, 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 the newest member of the Team 105 Through the Fan. So I thought that was him. Sounds exactly like the
interesting.
Kid.
Does sound kind of like, I'll give you that.
Right?
Yeah, it's similar.
Okay. Fascinating. Like,
okay, Dylon, look at you getting in some KNC Masterpiece love. Ain't even been here a week yet.
No, that was a fellow by the name of Waddle.
Okay.
Who recorded that for us. So, our question today, 877-881-1053. Give us a movie that has caused a legitimate argument between you and your friends and or family. So Corey and I were talking about this a lot, and I know one of the things that he would say is The Perfect Storm. Have you seen the movie The Perfect Storm? George Clooney, Marky Mark?
I was thinking of somebody. No, I haven't.
All right. So they go out on this boat, and all this stuff happens, and then they die in this unbelievable storm.
Oh,
and you're like,
you gave it away.
You're like, then, okay, that movie came out like 26 years ago. All right. But then they die, and you're like, so none of that happened, right? Like, all those conversations, everything else.
They found a bottle.
Yeah, you don't know. I don't know. And so that came up. But the movie it is for me is Cut 11, because I love this movie, and it caused some problems.
Has it ever occurred to you that instead of... you know, running around blaming me, you know, given the nature of all this news, you know, this could be a lot more complex. I mean, it's not just, it might not be just such a simple, you know?
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
All right. That movie is The Big Lebowski.
Oh, what a great movie.
So when I was in college, saw the movie, loved it.
Yeah.
Still think it's phenomenal. One of my roommates, and he had a fiance at the time. Well, spoiler alert, they didn't get married.
Oh.
That's a whole nother story for a whole nother day. We can fill a couple of segments with that. And so his fiance loved that movie, and we had a conversation about Big Lebowski.
Okay.
And she saw it with my roommate, and he was like, this movie is stupid. And so she was like kind of mad at him about that. And they had an argument and I talked about it. And I was like, oh yeah, man, you need to watch that movie again. It's awesome. And he goes, really?
Yeah.
He goes, do you think I should watch it again? Huh? All right. I'm going to do that. His fiance was livid. She was like, hold on. So I have told you to watch this movie again and you're going to spend your life with me. And you're like, meh. But Kevin, you just met a month or two ago, he says, and you're like, well, maybe I do need to give it another shot.
Yeah.
It was tremendous.
I understand it.
So I want to know if people have movies like that, that has led them into these arguments with family, friends, whoever.
Whew. I mean, first of all.
Hold on, I'm going to pause you. If you tell me a movie that you've heard this happens, but you've never actually seen it,
I'm going to
throw this highlighter
now,
at
you. Look, my movie watching ability is far better than my concert going ability. That said, or experience rather, I guess Harsh Times would be the only movie that really jumps to mind where me and friends have been at odds as to that movie.
Which side do you fall on?
I thought the movie was great.
Okay.
I thought the movie was great. Now, that said, let's for anybody that's seen Harsh Times before the people start chiming, the movie is terrible, which is, it's Christian Bale.
Yep.
As a white boy who grew up in East L.A., all right? So he's got kind of the S.A. Cholo vibe going on as a white guy. And people said, he's appropriating, da-da-da-da. Mind you, it was David Ayer, who is the screenwriter, whose first screenwriter was Training Day, right? And he's done he did The Working Man. Great catalog of movies, grew up in East L.A., Navy guy as well, wrote that movie. That was his directorial debut, and I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. Eva Longoria is chef's kiss in that movie. It's all about the ending. About the ending.
Okay.
Okay? I don't need a happy ending.
Not fair. I agree with that.
Pause. Don't need one when it comes to a movie. So, but people, the acting, the storyline, it's a wild movie. It's wacky.
Alec, do you have a movie that has caused some strife between you, friends, family, whatever?
There's a couple that come to mind, and ironically, they're all superhero movies.
It feels
like, at least in my friend group, those are the most divisive kinds of movies because not everybody can be pleased in those scenarios. Sure. They have this idea of what's going to happen and it doesn't happen. So they think the movie's horrible. Avengers Infinity War. That one got the group chat going crazy. That was my senior year of high school when that came out. And we actually went. Yeah. Sorry, you're old. It's okay. We actually went for our arts and AV awards with Nate Wood. He booked it up at the Studio Movie Grill in Mansfield, so we did our little awards ceremony and then watched it after. We sat there for like an hour in the seats after just arguing about, they're not actually dead. This is going to happen. Thanos is going to die, or no, Thanos is going to be their friend, blah, blah, blah. Like, everyone was like, they can't be dead. But we just watched him disintegrate in front of our eyes. We literally sat there for an hour and just argued about what's going to happen next. And there's that one friend that's like, I read the comics. This is what's going to happen.
Tell me. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can't tell me what's right and wrong because I read the entire series. Dang it.
Okay. I'm glad that you brought that up because I'm going to throw it to cut number 12. This is the movie that inspired this discussion in my brain. And I don't know if people will hear this clip and they're like, oh, yeah, I totally know that movie or not, but go ahead and play it.
I'm sorry, I seem to have forgotten it.
That's unfortunate. Because here, it doesn't matter whether you have forgotten it or if you never knew it. You will kindly remove your mask.
That is the movie Eyes Wide Shut. So I was in a group of five people, me and another guy and three girls.
Okay.
We were supposed to go out to dinner after the movie. We got in such a heated argument outside the theater that we decided to go our own separate ways. Like, we were all going to go out to dinner together. The three girls were like, that movie was just porn. And of course, 20-year-old Kevin was like, you don't understand art and whatever. Like, I was definitely being a doucher about it. And so we stood firm that it was Stanley Kubrick and he does nothing but art. And like, it led to this huge argument.
I appreciate that, though.
Outside the theater. And people were probably like, oh my God, it's
people.
A movie. Move on with your life. And we didn't. We got so mad at each other, we split apart for the rest of the night.
Did you guys ever reconvene?
Yeah, eventually. Yeah. But we definitely like tried to stay away from this conversation because we're like, hey, what about Eyes Wide Shut? Nope, we're not talking about that.
I'll give you guys one. And this is actually got me thinking after Alec brought up superhero movies, which I'll still don't understand. Interstellar.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin Hagland. Oh, it's such a mind-twisting movie. It's 2.5 hours of space odyssey, okay? Oh, he's in the water. Oh, my God, they're going to get killed. Oh, my God, the aesthetics are incredible.
Yeah.
And then there's the meme.
You know what? It's funny. It's too bad Corey's not here from this because I'm pretty sure he is an interstellar defender.
Oh, him
up,
and Blake.
Father and daughter and all that. And I was like, that's great. There are elements of Interstellar that I definitely like.
Yeah.
But... yeah, the ending beats me down so hard.
The whole movie beats me down. I mean, me and my son had the nerve to tell me, you just don't get it, bro.
And that's the go-to, right? I just told you.
All right, 17-year-old that doesn't know squat about life. You're right. I don't know what's going on in Interstellar. Oh, my God, there's a problem, and somebody's got to go back in the future and find it. Wow, never heard that premise before.
Do you think that's what makes it even worse in the argument? It's kind of like when people are like, you should just smile some more. And you just want to, like, rip that person's face off. It's you didn't get it. And you're like, because I couldn't possibly have understood and still not liked it. I
understand what happened in Interstellar.
Yes, there is a movie. I believe it's a documentary called Room 237. If I'm wrong, people will correct me. It's a documentary about everyone's different theory about The Shining because they couldn't accept that, like, at the time, people thought it was mediocre. And so they couldn't accept that it was just a mediocre horror movie made by Stanley Kubrick. They're like, nope. It's got to be about something else. It's about Native American colonization. It's about the sexual revolution. And then the one person who said it was about Stanley Kubrick admitting that he faked the moon landing. It's if you get a chance to watch this documentary, it's really good because these people's theories are crazy. And the one guy about space, he's the most confident person you will ever see in your life. He is 100% sure that is what the point of the movie The Shining is about.
What's in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction?
Wallace's soul.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
That's what I say.
100%.
Yeah, so I'm not a big interstellar person.
No.
But I don't think I'm passionate enough about that movie to, like, get into an argument about it. I'm just like, eh.
My whole thing is, like, I understand people love it and I get it, but I just don't. Like, I watched it, and I blocked out 3 hours of my life to focus on it because I had to hear from Blake. I had to hear from my son. I want to say Khaki Kev was giving me the business about it.
You got too much hype leading into it. That's problematic as well.
Well, they made this thing out to be like, oh, Christopher Nolan, this movie is just going to blow your mind. Like, I want to say my son and Blake, who are eerily similar, that's the crazy part about it, both said it would change my life.
Oh.
Yeah. Really? Interstellar? That's going to change my life.
Yeah.
Interstellar.
That's not the movie I would
All pick. Dogs Go to Heaven had a bigger impact on my life than Interstellar. Okay?
Yeah, that's my favorite thing that you said all day. From the 817, the live-action Avatar The Last Bender was obviously complete garbage. My roommate thought it was good. We argued for days. From the 817, this has come up a couple of times, but this is a different kind of argument. So these movies, people are arguing like good, bad, whatever. Die Hard. From the 817, Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Yes, sir.
My sister finally gave in a few years ago, so we watch it every Christmas now. But that has been an argument amongst my family. Mike Bassick firmly believes it's not a Christmas movie because it's not uplifting. It's set at a Christmas party. It is clearly a Christmas movie.
Not uplifting. He saves the day. Yippee-ki-yay. I mean, what are we talking about here?
It is true. A lot of people had to die along the way.
Who doesn't? You know, that's movies. Okay? That's movies.
It's interesting. From the 214, Clockwork Orange is that movie for me. So you know what we've noticed real quick? Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah.
The Shining.
Well, Stanley Kubrick.
Clockwork Orange. Stanley Kubrick's got a lot of movies
he does.
You know what? And you're going to hate me for this. Have you seen 2001 A Space Odyssey?
It's been probably 30, 40 years since I've seen it.
I love that movie. It is one of my favorite movies. I watched it with my wife.
Yeah.
Once the movie was over, she goes, oh my God, I'm so glad it's over. She hated it so much. She's like, nothing happens in that movie. Yeah. It's stupid. And like just on and on. And so now we'll get to a point where I'm like, would you rather do this or watch 2001 back to back consecutively? Yeah. And she's like, yeah, we can do the other thing.
So it's actually going to work out for you in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what movie does she like that you don't? You feel as passionately about it as she does about 2001 A Space Odyssey.
So it's the movie Dirty Dancing.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
That's great, unless you're a pedophile. And then you should probably not be running around with that girl. These are hard facts that people have to deal with. In that movie.
How old is she in that movie?
Yeah, she's not in college. And he's like 35 years old.
It's disgusting.
Exactly, Mike McCarthy.
In fairness, I feel like up until
he died. Tell me times were different?
No.
Okay. Because I don't want to hear that.
No. I mean, they were, but that doesn't excuse it. No, my point was with Patrick Swayze, I felt like he looked like he was 35 in every movie.
Yeah.
Up until
he died. Well, he looked 35 in that movie. And then the dad's just trying to stand up for his high school age daughter because he's like, hey, I'm a full grown man. I might have two kids you don't know about. So we're the we got to go. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. It's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus get ready for another year of this next on The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.